Maybe you only heard what you wanted to.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 30. Holy cow. Going Places. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. We want to tell you what's happening this very spooky week on our Patreon. Again with this episode 117 is dropping October 28th. Let's watch Doug Savant in Trick or Treat, the one from 1986, not the more recent one, which as far as I know, he is not in. It is on YouTube for you to screen in its entirety. There are some surprising, fun, heavy metal cameos in there. It's kind of really good, actually. I think we both liked it more than we expected.
Yeah. It's not like Masquerade good.
No.
But it's good.
It is good. So that's at patreon.com/againwiththis. Make sure to hit that up if you're not in the Patreon yet. Please do. We would love to have you. We'd love to have your support, but also just to hang out on the Discord and chat about the show and other stuff. All right. Speaking of chatting about the show and other stuff, let's get to our Z-plot. Doug Savant, Grant Sho, and Courtney Thorne Smith approach their exit ramps. At the Ojai Grill, which is definitely a real establishment and not a sign quickly dummied up for this building at the studio in Santa Clarita, which we both, once again, independently cut the exact same frame of the sign because we both love it.
Oh my God, the font. I would absolutely buy a t-shirt with Ojai Grill on it in this font.
Absolutely. See it in the visual aids, of course. At the Ojai Grill, Jake is not being cool about how much he loves the place to the guy who is selling it. And outside, Jake is excited about growing vegetables with Allison and just generally. And Allison is less enthusiastic, but agrees that the place is cute. She likes Ojai. So is Allison saying she wants to sell Shooters and buy this place? Allison says Jake was right when he said it was time for them to change their lives. They've been talking about leaving LA and the complex for a year. So yes, she thinks they should go for it. And so does he. And they hug. And once again, I wonder about that house Jake bought. Or so we were told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did he just like give it back? Is the money still in escrow? Mm-hmm. What?
I have a feeling we will never find out.
I also don't care. So great. Moving on.
Indeed. Chelsea is in the ER, getting her wrist bandaged when Matt busts in, having heard that they were there. Chelsea got hurt in phys ed, and when the school called, he was in surgery and could not take the call. Denise smugly says his work must be more important than Chelsea, which he denies, accusing Denise of trying to score points with Chelsea. She doesn't need to, says Denise, but notes that given Matt's schedule, Chelsea might be better off with her. And instead of yelling at Denise in front of the kid, Matt arm grabs Denise out to the hall to do it. Clip two.
I'm going back in there. Chelsea needs me.
Yes, she needs you, but not you yelling at me and me yelling at you. You haven't changed at all, have you, Denise? I mean, you used to pull the same crap with my brother. And when and if you get Chelsea back, you're going to leave her just like you did before.
You're right about one thing, Matt. I am going to get my daughter back.
Ew!
We'll see, I guess.
I guess. We won't care, but we'll see.
Yeah, we won't care. We certainly have never cared, honestly, but here we all
nope.
still are.
Also, she, like, isn't she 16?
Yeah.
Like, what were they doing in phys ed that she, okay, you know what? Who cares? Moving on.
Fell on the volleyball court? I don't know. What do you do in gym when you're 16? I was not still taking it by then.
No, I wasn't either, so.
Some number of days later, Jake is at Shooters trying to unload the place to his old loan shark, Monty, who states that if he does end up buying the place, he's going to turn it into a dry cleaners. Jake cracks up, but after Monty has left, he tells Matt he is definitely selling the place, just to the right buyer. Matt rudely asks whether Jake and Allison are planning to have kids when they move, and instead of saying, that's not your business, Jake curtly says, that dream is over. But while Allison eavesdrops, they go on. Clip three.
Seriously? I mean, but having kids was always so important to you. And I'm honestly, I never understood until my niece dropped into my life, but it's only been a couple of months, but I can't imagine life without her now.
Well, I'm happy for you, Matt. It's just not in the cards for me.
You okay with that?
Yeah. I mean,
So what if I'm settling? Most people do, right? I've got Allison. What more could a man want?
Well, most people don't say they're settling to others, even if they think that they are.
I mean, I doubt that this was planned, but if the writers are trying to make us glad that this original, like, bridge from the parent show cast member is leaving, well done, because I can't wait to see the back of this douche.
Yeah. Moving on to our B plot. I was just waiting to see if Dave's going to do something.
Well, we recorded this right after we recorded the last one. I haven't had time to hire a John Williams-esque composer to do it.
Fair enough. My favorite part of that.
This is great.
My favorite part of that was that in the long pause when Dave finally noticed no one was talking and I could just see his eyes cut to the left to be like, what's happening? Anyway, our B plot. Threat corner. Craig threatens Harry. Jim threatens Billy and Sam. We rejoin Billy more or less where we left him, getting interrogated about Jim by the bald cop. And this whole time, I thought he was an FBI agent. He's not. He's Detective Stevenson. Which seems wrong if it's an interstate crime. This is an FBI matter, I thought.
Or United States Marshals.
Right, right.
Whichever agency is assigned to making me care also let this slip through the cracks.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing about this plot line has been scanned for logic or credibility. We're still here, however. Because Billy's an idiot, he has not requested counsel before telling new viewers how he lied to Detective Stevenson the first time they spoke. And Detective Stevenson volunteers that a beat cop saw Jim in L.A. this morning, and Billy's like, cool? Like, okay, whatever?
Fucking pick him up, dick.
Seriously. Anyway, across the hall, Sam is being interrogated by the lady cop, Detective Walker, and swearing she didn't know that Jim had escaped. She lied because Jim had already moved out and she didn't know where he was. Also a lie. Stop digging, idiot. You've already been picked up. Don't make things worse for yourselves. Also, get lawyers. They don't. Eventually, they are released. And as they hug in the hall, Walker tells Sam that if she hears from Jim, she expects a call. And Sam gives her word as though that's worth anything at this point. Like, you were just here talking about how you lied to the cops every other time you interacted. Anyway, outside, we get this clip 4.
We did it. We stuck to our story. Cops let us go just like you said they would.
Detective Stevenson said your father was still in town. Have you seen him? Answer me.
Hey, once, the night after you made me say goodbye to him, he dropped by the store. But I told him to go away, and then I couldn't help him anymore.
And you're just now getting around to telling me? We were supposed to go in there and tell the truth. And now it's all lies again?
Shh, calm down. Somebody might hear you.
What if a cop had seen you with him, huh? What then? Are you really willing to sacrifice your whole life, your freedom, me?
He's my father. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know, but I can't take it anymore.
Where are you going?
Walking home.
Oh, shit. No one walks in L.A. He means business.
I was just going to say, don't slip on a banana peel. All of this is so, so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah. And yet, there's so much more stupid to come, somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stupid yet boring. The worst combination.
Yeah. Stuporing.
Yes. At D&D the next day, Craig ushers Sydney in her cute suit into his office. She babbles that she really did try to get Harry to back off, but he won't. Craig says that if Sydney wants to settle, Harry can't stop her. So she closes Craig's office door and tells him everything. Craig looks betrayed as though he wasn't also being shady right back to her. But as she keeps babbling and gets to her fears about being Big Bertha's bitch in prison, ugh, he snickers. He could never hate Sydney and he'll take care of everything. And outside, Amanda watches them warily through Craig's office window, as she should. And that night, Billy and Sam are being that couple on the same side of a booth at Shooters, Sam getting tired of apologizing to Billy for everything, but he is more focused on some guy by the door. And when Billy goes over and asks the guy why he's so interested in them, duh, he's not. He's interested in Jim because he's a cop and Sam and Billy are under surveillance. Billy grabs Sam to leave and the cop follows them. And apparently they drove all the way home from Shooters without Billy telling Sam who the guy was, though he does now in the courtyard. And pouts that this stuff with her dad is never going to end. And apparently he's right, because when he opens their apartment door, Jim is already inside, chilling on the futon with one of their beers. Billy grabs for the phone receiver, but Jim has already cut the cord. And they just passed Amanda and Kyle in the courtyard. They are both still basically next to the door. Like, you know he doesn't have a gun. Just run out and yell for help. But they don't.
Yeah, no.
And Billy tells Jim about the cop who is following, though. But Jim can't just leave. Clip 5.
It means I need 10 grand and a plane ticket. And if you don't get it for me, and I get caught. Well, I'll just tell the cops that you were in on it with me from the get-go. And the two of you can just take your chances in jail.
Billy and I don't have that kind of money.
Well, fine. Then we'll all go down together, one big happy family. Don't bother to show me out. I'll just leave the way I came.
What is this accent?
Okay. It really has gone
Leg
on a
horn.
Journey since he got here. Jesus. It's different in every episode.
Yeah. Like it's getting more and more like you almost buy it because it has that like Brooklyn meets Georgia Bayou thing happening.
Yes, yes.
But it's still so annoying. Like, not only is he, whatever, he cut the phone cord. Like, this was kind of at the end of when that would actually work.
Right.
On soap operas, which, fine. But as you said, just back up 3 steps, open the door and be like, Amanda, can you call the cops?
Yeah.
Like, no one goes next door or to a payphone to call the cops after this. And the idea that not only he can blackmail them for aiding and abetting, which they're, like, already in trouble for, into doing it more and to get a plane ticket when he's an interstate fugitive.
Right.
Okay. None of this is how this works. And he's also being such a dick about it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'd turn you in just for the attitude, honestly. Like, never mind that you escaped from prison. You're just being a jack wagon.
And being annoying. Also,
yeah,
like,
beat it.
If this was your plan all along, like, why did you start with this Pity Andy shit where it's like, give me $50. Okay, give me $100. Okay, give me $400. Now it's 10,000. Like, start at 10,000 if this is where you're going. Like, you want to minimize the amount of time you spend in one place, I have to think, if you're good at this.
Yeah, which, I mean, and how good is he?
Right.
If he went to jail and also that it was the testimony of his daughter slash apparently girlfriend.
Yeah.
I shouldn't joke about it, but
no, but
like, if you're not going to reveal that this is what happened, then you absolutely must direct the actors to stop being creeps. It's really weird.
I think it's them trying to like do something with the material that's like more interesting than what we see on the page. And when we get to where it's going in this episode, it's like, okay, I get why they took it there.
Mm-hmm. But
yes. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, this is 10 times more attention than it deserves.
That's
Let's
right.
Be fun.
As he is about to exit through their gigantic bedroom window, Billy says he will get Jim anything he wants if Jim will leave town for good. And Billy has Jim's word. Again, what could be more valuable than this guy's word, honestly?
Also, if you think about it, if their doors all face inside the courtyard, then that window faces outside to
right.
the street.
Mm-hmm.
So all these passersby that we're constantly seeing in B-roll are going to see someone climbing out the window and looking like a sketchball.
That's right.
Jim.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent criminaling there, Jimbo.
So when Harry gets to his office the next day, Craig is there to steal the paperwork that Harry faked to incriminate Sydney. And Harry sputters about calling the cops until Craig reminds him about the fraud he definitely committed. And Craig offers $50,000 for Sydney's injuries, which would mean $10,000 for Harry himself. Harry declines and gets on the phone, and clip 6.
And I'm just going to have to expose you for what you are. A con man, a fraud who preys on innocent women. If you want this to get physical, it will, all right, buddy? Because I love a piece of you.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be, Harry? You don't look like a glutton for punishment.
All right, okay. I'll take the money.
And you forget you ever knew Sydney.
Sydney who?
That's right. Good boy.
I just don't believe Craig as a tough guy with anyone, but he's so much shorter than this actor. Like,
he really is.
Not credible.
even though the amount of gel that they have to give him that like late 90s sort of flyaway Tintin situation, it makes him an inch taller and he's still only like 5'7".
It's true. That night, Craig comes by Sydney's and tells her that Harry's out of her life for good. He has also brought her share of the settlement, and which it now actually is, and insists that she take it. And he even has a bonus for her. Oh, I just bet he does. But he has to lean in to whisper it to her, and she giggles. She keeps asking why he's doing all this, so he will repeat that he cares about her. She doesn't know if she can believe it from any man, never mind one she was just suing a few minutes ago, so he kisses her. And she doesn't want her heart trampled again, but that's not Craig's intention. And finally, she relents, and they kiss some more, including lying down on the couch. And from here, they cross into the A-plot. We will see a little bit more of them there. Over to Billy's the next night as he proudly drops $10,000 in cash in front of Sam. She exposits that it's all the money he has in the world, and she won't let Billy give it to her father, but money is all Jim ever wanted. And if Billy had been smarter, he would have paid him off in the first place, which, a lot of things in this life would have been different if Billy had been smarter. And B, you didn't know he was a fugitive until quite recently, actually. So you had like a day to have made that decision and made things different. Anyway, Sam relents and says she will pay it all back. Billy is less worried about that than how they're going to get the cash to Jim without the cops seeing. And Sam suggests that Billy draw the cops out the front while Sam sneaks out the back to do the drop. And then, oh my God, clip 7. La La Lida. La La Lida came back. They made it a thing for her character. She said it again. What?
Why?
I don't know. I'm asking. I thought it was a fucked up la-di-da last time. I don't know how this became like a thing.
It probably was. She's not good at this.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I was infuriated. Billy's smile is, I think, supposed to be proud, but ends on scary, as you can see in the visual aids. And he says it's a good plan, but he will be the one to meet Jim. And then it's literally days later, and Billy is briskly on his way to meet Jim at a laundromat. And in full view of the floor-to-ceiling windows, Billy hands Jim an envelope containing the cash and a one-way ticket to Mexico on Sketch Airlines. Like, I have no idea where they think they're going to fly him through.
Oh,
whatever. God. Billy expects Jim to leave and never come back. And oh my God, you're never going to believe what happens next if you weren't paying attention to the exact same thing happening several times before this. Clip 8.
While I appreciate the fast work, I'm not going anywhere without Sam.
What are you, some kind of psycho? Huh? Yes. I've had just about enough of this. Now, unless you want to go back to jail, you better just leave Sam alone and get the hell out of our lives, man.
I've been around the block, kid. Don't you mess with me.
You tell Sam, I'll be in touch.
This is what I meant about the incest stuff, or like what they've been hinting at, where it's like, why else would he be like, I'm taking her with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I think that's, you know. The actors made subtext more so than the text.
Or that, you know, maybe he was not actually robbing liquor stores. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
I just am exhausted by all of this. Like, there is absolutely no universe in which someone would not have seen this and called the cops for Billy and or Sam.
Mm-hmm.
But that when he, like, I'll be in touch, like, great. You can communicate through the Los Angeles Police Department, who I am calling right now from this payphone.
Mm-hmm. Or tell the cops, since Jim has no concern about changing up his location, he is in room X at Hotel Y. Just tap the phone line on his room phone.
Yeah.
Because he...
knock on the door, and he'll say, who is it? And you can be like, I don't even know. Did someone order a pizza? Bang, chicka, where?
Housekeeping, and when he opens the door, he's bad at this. Like,
yeah,
he should not be this hard to find.
No.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's where we leave them for now. Finally, we have our A-plot. Kyle gets caught between Jennifer and Amanda while his ex joins forces with Michael against Peter. At the hospital, Michael officially enlists Taylor in his scheme to make Peter think he has rage epilepsy, like that patient. Taylor is not so sure, which is when Peter walks in on them. They claim they bumped into each other and Michael was going to help Taylor find Peter. And while Peter doesn't seem convinced, he lets it go. Michael takes off and this happens. Clip 9.
Peter, don't be mad, okay? I had another run-in with Kyle and I was missing you and I just wanted to buy you a cup of coffee if you have a few minutes.
Huh. Well, if you want to make me happy, don't drop by the hospital. And if I want to see you, I'll call you.
I just thought that...
And don't think. It's not your strong suit.
Oh, well, why not just push her into trying to ruin your life by being a total dick all the time?
Yeah.
At D&D, Amanda and Kyle coordinate their plans to go to Santo Domingo together for 48 hours for their quickie divorces. Separate rooms at the posh resort. No sooner has Kyle hung up than Megan is behind him announcing that he has a problem, Jennifer. Kyle thinks that after they broke up, Jennifer graduated from Boston College and started dating Ivy League guys, so Megan sets him straight and then gives him the address of the bar where she is working, which, like, how is this Kyle's problem? Are you not married to this problem's brother? Why is this being offloaded on him? He has things to do. I guess she knows that Michael doesn't care because she already tried and he said so. So fair enough. So we head straight to the bar. We see Jennifer is less dressed than the dancer who is in like a sporty striped bikini. You can see this in the visual aids.
Yeah, it's like a sports bra and like, yeah. I don't know, underoos. Like, yeah. I mean, she's perfectly cute, but this
totally is
not Peeler attire.
No.
Or lack of attire.
Indeed. So when the manager grabs Jennifer by the arm, of course, she assumes it's to fire her, but actually one of the dancers missed her shift, so he wants Jennifer to perform. Jennifer refuses, but not very forcefully, and has just had the costume pressed into her hand when Kyle appears behind this guy and takes it away, roughing up the manager and making Jennifer smile, and then changing gears when he tries to lead her out. Clip 10.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe I want to strip?
No.
What else am I supposed to do with my life? You don't want me. My brother doesn't want me.
Taking your clothes off and demeaning yourself isn't going to solve your problem. Let's go.
Girl stays, you go.
And you know, Jennifer is convinced. So when we see them next, Kyle has brought Jennifer to his place and lent her his jacket since she left in her uniform. And if she's there, as opposed to staying with another club employee, Jennifer's manager won't find her, which I doubt he's going to look. Girls who want to work in strip clubs are not in short supply in the city of Los Angeles. I'm just saying.
Yeah, seriously.
So Kyle tells Jennifer she can stay there while he's out of town. He confirms that when she asks that Megan told him where she was. And on his way out, he tells her to go to the restaurant, introduce herself to Mario. Woo! Have him give her some groceries, which can I stay with Kyle? This sounds pretty good. All of this makes Jennifer... resmitten as well, and she blurts at him to come back single. He intends to. And then we're in the DR, where we're given to understand American tourists walk through the same part of the airport as a guy pushing a cart full of chickens. Like, I've not been there. I doubt that's the case. I think the tourist part is for tourists. Like, what the fuck? Anyway.
Just what you know about chicken travel culture, Tara.
You're right. I'm showing my ignorance. Kyle tells Amanda the road to their hotel got washed out, but he found a local who's offering them use of a beach house for $1,000. And the customs guy needs to know where they're staying since their next best option to this guy is a blanket in the hangar. Amanda decides to try the beach house. And when they get there, Kyle loves it, but Amanda refuses to stay there without electricity or running water. And he grabs her arm as she tries to return to the cab, saying he'll take care of it, which means whistling to the driver and waving him off, which good luck getting back to the airport in 40 hours without, I assume, a phone. And I also didn't notice this until I cut a shot from the scene as a lead pick for this podcast episode. But as he is waiting for Amanda to react to him waving off the driver, Rob Estes unconsciously covers his balls with both hands, like he's scared she's about to kick him. And he should be, because that's a very bad move.
Yeah, it really is.
Amanda's furious, but Kyle says there's nowhere else to stay on a Caribbean island with a busy tourist trade. I doubt it. So they have to make the best of it. And so Amanda does, stomping inside to sleep off this nightmare. Over to Kyle's, where Michael and Taylor are conspiring. Clip 11.
All you have to do is tell Peter you want to spend a quiet evening at home.
Just the two of us.
Right. Then when he gets there, you hand him a drink. His favorite scotch with this prescription chaser.
Oh, Michael, I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I can drug somebody again, especially Peter.
Again? What do you mean again?
Well, I just got through drugging Kyle's Marine buddy, Nick. It was a very complicated situation.
Yeah, that somehow involved Peter, right? That's why he needed that morphine. And that's why Mr. Marine beat the stuffing out of him in the hospital parking lot.
Listen, I don't want to get into this right now, okay?
Oh, and I understand that. Because that was a stupid plan, and this isn't. Besides, Taylor, what goes around comes around.
Oh, you do have a point there.
You know, I'm actually beginning to like you. Anyway, that pentobarbital will eventually cause Peter to black out.
Wait, tell me again why we need him to black out.
Because seizures in the form of blackouts are symptomatic of rage epilepsy. Didn't I explain this all at the hospital?
Yes.
We are going to make Peter believe he is physically abusing you during these induced blackouts. By bruising his hands, your face, etc. That will make Peter become, shall we say, a failure at home and at work. What, am I grossing you out? Because I don't want you to get cold feet or anything.
My feet are very warm, thank you. And as a matter of fact, I think your plan is very inspired. It's so sick.
Oh, my God.
Funny. Like, this is just completely tonally off. Like, I understand that we're supposed to think that Michael is just this, you know, human, like, garbage in a blazer.
Yeah.
And so I get that they're playing it for laughs, because what else can you do? It's completely over the top. Mm-hmm. But it's also really gross. And, hey, remember Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This season.
Bum, bum, bum. Was I supposed to do that?
Dickens! Yes, please do. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, this clip ends with Taylor giddily planting a long kiss on Michael's lips while Jennifer watches from the kitchen. Mario hands off her box of groceries, and Jennifer takes a nice long soap moment to silently strategize about what she's going to do with this information. And the next morning, back in the DR, Amanda comes out naked in a blanket to Kyle cooking on the beach. He tells her to close the blinds when she gets dressed. She calls him Robinson Crusoe before warning him to keep his eyes on breakfast. And at Kyle's place, Jennifer continues to get showered in groceries, this time from Megan. Jennifer forgives Megan for ratting her out to Kyle because they're getting back together. Megan is not so sure about that. Jennifer thinks she knows Kyle better than Megan does, and they argue about it, Jennifer ending on all men cheat. And Megan disagrees, which is cute, given that A, her relationship with Michael started with him cheating with her, and B, he has already cheated on her. Jennifer
and
then...
C, she was a sex worker.
Yeah.
Who made her living from cheatage.
True.
Sometimes, whatever, no judgments.
Jennifer then delights in telling Megan that Michael is also a cheater, reporting what she saw at the restaurant the night before. This does not come up again in this episode, by the way, because this show has too many characters now. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to push this to the next week. Yeah. Christ on a
minute. And then they have to reset for us. Like, this is how you can tell this season is way too long. They're resetting like in the middle of episodes.
Yeah.
Sometimes like new viewers will have wandered in at minute 41.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe what happened is that in the writer's room, there were a bunch of like daytime vets who are used to the rhythms of it happening in a stripped environment 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But because that's not happening. It seems very slow and awkward, and like the actors are doing their best with a couple of exceptions. Hachoo, but you know, this is just like, this is daytime rhythms in a nighttime soap, and they need to pick it the fuck up, but they're not going to. So let's move on.
Indeed. That night, Kyle and Amanda drink beer on the beach, toast to the end of old relationships and the beginning of new ones. Business relationships, that is. Will Kyle wait until the divorce is final tomorrow to take off his ring? She asks. It is a little weird that he has continued wearing it after menacing his ex-wife multiple times. But this is just his cue to walk to the water's edge. And Amanda follows and apologizes if she upset him. But the ring and the idea of a commitment just meant a lot to him. Taylor killed his feelings for her, but he does still believe in marriage. His own parents have been married for 35 years. How old is he supposed to be? Because he looks late 30s to me.
Yeah, he does. Also, you cheated first. That was like the first thing we learned about you before you even showed up on the show.
Yes. Oh my God.
So interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it wasn't easy for Amanda to take her ring off either. Kyle then immediately starts wrenching his off while Amanda tries to stop him doing what we all knew he definitely was about to, chucking it in the ocean. And then, clip 12.
You look beautiful.
Get real, I'm a mess. Makeup, sunburned.
No, he's right. She looks great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He, like, pets her hair like she's an Irish setter, and then they finally kiss for real before Kyle immediately says he can't do this, and Amanda laughs ruefully before agreeing she can't either and going to bed. And then it's the next day, and Kyle's taking their executed divorce papers out to the landing strip where Amanda's calling Craig, and I appreciate the verisimilitude of making all of Kyle's DR shirts sweat-stained. You can see this in the visual aids. There's like a little triangle right between his, what are these, shoulder blades, traps, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
You know, pit stains, a go-go, of course. Amanda and Craig update each other on their latest news. Amanda's impressed that he got them out of the lawsuit for a mere $50,000 and apologizes for every mean thing she ever said to him. I mean, surely not every mean thing. Let's be reasonable.
You could have, 15% tops.
She should certainly not apologize for the mean things she's gonna say when she gets back to the office and finds out Craig has hired Sydney as a consultant, which is how we see this scene end. And then it's time for Taylor to dose another man's drink as Peter gets home from work. Back at the complex, Kyle carries Amanda's luggage to her door and says goodnight. She had a good time on their trip. Kyle showily feels his naked left ring finger before saying he had better than a good time. Well, why did you break the kiss then? One might ask, but she just smiles and they hug platonically. But when she gets inside, she leans out her little balcony door and tells Kyle she had better than a good time, too, which is when Jennifer comes out of his door in her short shorts and crop top to welcome him home and look very smugly across at Amanda.
Love it.
Kyle tries to do damage control, but it's too late. And at the condo, Taylor opens the door to Michael and breathlessly says the stuff he gave her worked fast. Peter is so unconscious that he doesn't wake up when Michael starts bashing his hand against the glass coffee table. I feel like you need something more solid so you can really smash his knuckles on it without being afraid you're going to break the table. But anyway, Taylor has to tell Michael to stop and then remembers that in order for this to be convincing, she has to be bruised also. And Michael thought they would just do it with makeup, but Taylor says Peter, as a doctor, would know the difference. Oh boy, clip 13.
Well, you're going to have to hit me.
Oh, no, no. I never hit a woman in my life.
Well, do you want to keep your record or do you want to be chief of staff?
Look, I'm not going to hit you, and that's fine.
Michael, you cannot wimp out on me now. This is too important to both of us. Now take your best shot. Michael, hit me! Michael, hit me!
I can't! I'm sorry.
Ow!
Ow, what did you do that for?
Come on! If I can hit you, you can hit me!
No, man, no way, no how!
Michael, are you saying this is it? End of the line, forget everything? Because this is my last hope with Peter, and if we don't go through with it, then I lose him forever, and I will not let that happen! So I'm gonna think of something!
Okay, well, I'd give a second thought to the makeup. What? Well, where are you going? What are you doing?
But you couldn't.
What? Oh, my God. Man, I can't believe you did that.
I had to do it. Because I love you that much, Peter.
The yikes face we get from Michael is perfect, and I love it.
I mean, like, Calabro is doing a good job in this, whatever this is, but it's all just so, like, it's just tonally off. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, this show has not demonstrated any ability to do black humor, and it just should not. It's all just so creepy, and I want it over, and it's still, quote, only episode 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think there's two episodes left. Guess what? There's three.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, with that in mind, let's wrap it up by naming our episode MVP. Boy.
Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer gets what she wants.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, she probably shouldn't want it, but she got it. And she has that cute outfit at the end, and that smug face is like, okay, famous original Sydney should just stay and we should stop it with this, but she's doing a pretty good Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Credit.
Well, yeah, we are, spoiler, losing Sydney. So if this is her, if this is Sydney methadone, it's not bad.
Mm, yeah.
Least valuable player. I'm going to say it's a tie. Billy and Sam, how fucking dumb are you both? Truly.
God. Yeah. I mean, Jim is not great, but at least, like, Jim also was getting what he wants somehow, because he has correctly identified his daughter and her boyfriend as utter stoobs. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oof.
Next time on Again With This. Peter wakes up under a jungle gym. Jake's kid turns up at his front door. Craig and Sydney try to stick it up Amanda's nose, and we pray nobody turns the sound up at the upstairs jazz club. Also, will I get through this entire paragraph without giggling hysterically? Who can say? You might throw up when you check out our visual aids. You can find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. We are on Twitter at AWT90210, or if you can get a signal on the beach, call us at 210-920-4699. If you have any thoughts on what resolutions the Melrose and or Bev Niner characters should make for New Year's, we would love to hear those. Just leave us a message and let us know if it's okay to use your audio on an upcoming episode. And don't forget our Patreon page with a shit ton of 90210 and Melrose content. Patreon.com/againwiththis. That includes our monthly recaps of the 90210 OMG podcast, which you'll hear if you're a big spender at the $5 level or higher. We urge you to let our ears do the bleeding. I'm utterly unsubtle dead drop Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Tropical Divorce Weekend Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is David T. Cole. What more could two co-hosts want? Talk to you next time. Ooh, what?
It took me so long to figure out that's what it was. It's like the predator noise. Like,
is there a rattlesnake in your home? That seems bad.